Thank you so much, Bob, Desmond, for giving us those beautiful hymns and also singing all about redeeming. We all know the book of Ruth, and the chapter 2 and 4 mostly focus about the redeemer, the kinsman, and how what actually kinsman did to Ruth. But I got really lucky because I got a chapter 3. And chapter 3 actually not just talk about the redeemer, but also the things which Ruth did. So it's mostly focused on Ruth as compared to the redeemer. Because we know redeemer, there are some duties that he have to redeem. He needs to be able to redeem, and he should be willing to redeem as well, as Brad mentioned last week. So now, for chapter 3, it's Ruth's redemption assured. That's the title we got from the Bible, from my Bible. It's a New King James Version Bible. So let's read through the scripture, and then we will move forward. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, then you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay the night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you, as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 epah of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 epahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Amen. This is really well-written scripture, and also the story as it moves forward from the first chapter of Ruth till the fourth chapter of Ruth. And the fascinating fact about this small story is that how greatly it resembled the Christ, our Redeemer. And also both stories, even if we go into the New Testament, also if we read about read in the Ruth, those both stories are well knit together in each other, chronological as well. Like how the events are happening, they both are pretty much aligned with each other. So let's see the background. So the first two verses, it tells, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Security. Why Naomi wants a security for her daughter-in-law? Because we know what happened to Ruth and Naomi. Naomi lost her husband and then two sons. And even Ruth is a widow. So the book of Ruth was written right during the time of Judges. It is written in the first chapter. We don't have to go there to see, okay, when it was written. But there's a verse which says that these incidents are happening during the Judges' time. And during the Judges, there's a really interesting things happen if we see at the last chapter. So there's a one incident which is really hideous crime happened. That there's one traveler, he's a Levi, and he do have a concubine. And they both are traveling. They went through one city, they stayed there. And during the night, a couple of people came and they asked the homeowner where they were staying to bring the man out so that they can rape him. I'm just putting it bluntly. In Bible verses, this passage was explained really well. So if we go to the book of Judges chapter 19, this incident is written there in verse 22. As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the floor. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to your house that we may know him carnally. That was the word from chapter 19 of Judges. So that's why I'm telling, okay, why the time was bad and why Naomi was seeking security for her daughter-in-law. Because the people were bad in Israel. This I'm talking about Israel. This incident is happening there. And they asked the homeowner to bring out the man so that they can rape him. And he was like, no, don't do it to the man. I do have a virgin daughter and he do have a concubine. I can bring both of them out. So if we go to Judges chapter 19, verse 24, 25, and see, look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now, humble them, and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing. But the man would not heed him. So the man took his concubine and brought her out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night until morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. How hideous, how bad the timing was that this thing was happening in Judges. And the Ruth, and this whole incident with Ruth, that he is widow, she is widow, and there's only her mother-in-law. And they both are living in Israel, the bad Israel, the time when the judges were there and the people were doing whatever they desired to do. And later on, we discovered that in chapter 19, that concubine was dead and that man whose concubine was that, he actually took her to his house. She was already dead. And he cut her in 12 pieces and sent it to each tribe of Israel. So if we go to the chapter 19, verse 27, it says, when her master arose in the morning and opened the door of the house and went out to go his way, there was his concubine fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, get up, let us be going. But there was no answer. So the man lifted her unto the donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. When he entered his house, he took a knife, laid hold of his concubine, and divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it said, no such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it, confer it, and speak up. How bad that crime was. He was a Levi who did that. And those were the people of Israel who did that. This resembles that the time was really bad and it is bad right now as well. If we look around the nation, there are hideous crime happening all over the world. There are people killing each other. There are rapes happening. And those were only the 12 pieces. There were more like people are killing each other, and even there was an incident that people started to eat other people. It was on the news a couple of months ago. So the time resembled what is happening right now as well. It was happening in Israel. That's why Naomi was seeking security for her daughter-in-law. And she said in verse 2 of Ruth chapter 3, "Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not a relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor." And now, Naomi is the Jew. She is from Israel, and she is well aware of all the laws which Jews have, right? So that's why she is giving instruction to Ruth, because she is not aware. She is a Gentile. She don't know what the laws of the Jews are. And that's why she's telling relative, in some translation it is written as kinsman, because kinsmen or relative do have a right to redeem. If Brad maybe already explained everything last Sunday, so we know what the duties of the redeemer is, right? So just to save her from that evil deed, what was happening in Israel, Naomi said, "Hey, there's a relative. He's a kinsman. He's a relative. He can redeem us. He can buy the land, and he do have the right to marry you as well." So she is giving her instruction what she should do. And now we are moving to the verse 3. So now the instruction came in. Verse 3, "Therefore wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in and cover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So now we know Ruth is a really good daughter-in-law. She's following all the instruction, whatever the Naomi is telling her, because Ruth is not aware of Jewish laws. But Naomi just told her that these are the things you need to do, because he is our relative. He is our kinsman. He do have the right to redeem. So now in the chapter 3, that redeemer, Boaz, that he introduced himself to Ruth and also Naomi. That's the same thing happened in the New Testament as well. First, Jesus came into the world. He introduced himself to us. He told us he is the Son of the God. He is the one who will die for us. And now, the second thing which happened, we need to believe on to him. Because John chapter 3:16 says that Lord gave his only begotten Son. Now we have to believe on him. So now the duties of the church, the duties of the bride, and duties of the believer started in chapter 3. Because chapter 2 was the beginning of Christ. He introduced himself. He told us why he is here and what he can do. And now, as a believer or as a sinner, what we have to do. The instructions are given by the Holy Spirit, or Naomi in this case. So now Naomi is giving instruction to the Ruth, as she is not aware of Jewish tradition. And now it's Ruth's turn to introduce herself to Boaz. She needs to let Boaz know that she wants him to marry her. That's what the instructions are coming from Naomi. And same as Christ showed his love to us first and then asked us to trust in him and give ourselves to him. That's the same thing happening, because this happened in the New Testament as well. How well written those stories are, how well written the scripture is, that it resembled perfectly, chronologically, that what Christ did to us, and that same thing is happening with Ruth. Because Redeemer came first. Boaz was already there in the Israel. He was already prosper. He already had everything. He was a rich man. But our Christ, he's a king of kings. So now, the instruction is, "Therefore wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished." So now, Naomi is asking Ruth to take off your widowness. Wash yourself. Wash your past. And that's the same thing God asks us to do as well. Wash our sins away. Put your old self back. Put your sins to the death. Bury them as deep as you can. And put on the best garment of righteousness. And we need to put Jesus Christ on, because he is humble, he is meek, and he is holy. And we need to put humbleness, meekness, and holiness as well. Those are the garments which Naomi is asking Ruth to put on. And even we can see the same thing happening in Book of Revelation when we go to chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. There is the wife of the Lamb, or the bride of the Lamb, because she is anointed. She's putting on the best garment. That is what is happening. So there are a couple of examples given throughout the scripture. And even putting on the garment, and now Naomi is telling her to go there and lay down on his feet. This might be a really different scripture, that she's telling her to go there and lay down on his feet. But there's a similar thing happen in the New Testament as well. When Mary lay down on his feet, anointed his feet with the perfume, the really great perfume, and washed his feet with her hair. That resembled the submission. So now we know who is our Redeemer, and he is able to redeem us. Now we have to submit ourselves to our Redeemer, because he can redeem us, and he is the true bridegroom as well, as Mary did. And also, this is one of the best examples of submission, that she went there, she lay down, and now she is just following the instruction, because when we read the scripture, it said, go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. So we need to rely on his instructions. We should not be like Jacob or Isaac, where they were trying to cut corners, get the goals. Later on, they realized their mistake. But initially, what they were doing, or even Abraham did the same. They were cutting corners. They were trying to get something. And they were not following the instruction given from the God. And that's the same thing is happening over here. And the same thing is happening in the New Testament, where God asks us to give himself. Give ourselves to himself and submit ourselves completely. And now, let's go to the next verses. So next verses is verse 8 till 9. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was laying at his feet, and he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." In this chapter, there are like three characters: Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. Boaz is a redeemer. Ruth, she is resembling a sinner, a believer, a church. And also there's a Naomi. She can be resembling a Holy Spirit. She is guiding the believer. She is guiding the sinner who was in a great debt. No one was able to redeem her or us, but then there's a Redeemer who can do everything for us. And now these instruction was given, and now we came to the verse 8. It says, "Now it happened at a midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there was a woman was lying at his feet, and he said, 'Who are you?'" Midnight. So midnight is really interesting. Now it says the Redeemer, or the Boaz, was startled at the midnight. The same incident happened in the New Testament as well. Midnight also resembled when the Christ was on that cross, on that cursed cross. He said, "Hey Father, why have you forgotten me?" Right? That was the midnight, that time, and also the morning star, because in Book of Revelation it says that the Christ is the morning star. The morning star always happens right before the dawn of the sun. And that bad time was happened on when Jesus actually died for us, and he raised again. He resurrected again. And this time resembled the same thing as well in the New Testament. Now, bride proposed to the bridegroom because she said, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. So now, a really unconventional thing is happening that a bride, Ruth, is proposing to the bridegroom or Boaz and asking him to marry her under your wings, for you are a close relative. This is an indirect way of saying, hey, you are the redeemer, you should redeem us. And that is what is happening. But the order of the events, how this thing really started me, that how the order of the events, that redeemer was introduced first, and now that redeemer did his job of introducing, and now it's our job to introduce ourselves to the God. And now that redeemer who was died on the cross at that midnight started and woke up. And now we are telling Christ, take us, marry us. We are your church. We are following you. We submitted ourselves to you. And now take us to the heaven, that one day, that glorious day which is coming for us. Because that dark hour is already past. And now it says under your wings. Because there's a one passage in the scripture. If we go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, 8, it said, when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wings over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore on oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. That says what the meaning of that scripture is, cover me or bring me under your wings, is to marry her. She is proposing. It's a bit unconventional, but it is according to the law. Ruth is not breaking any law. But the main thing is, when Ruth proposed to the bride, a bridegroom, now those efforts, whatever the instruction was giving to Ruth by Naomi, those efforts are not in vain. Now that Redeemer will redeem her. If we go to the next chapter as well, and also to the following verses as well. So now, verse 10. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And that's the same thing Lord wants us to do. He wants us to show more love to him as compared to the love we have shown to the sinful nature in past. And that's what Boaz is saying, that you have shown more love in the later toward Boaz as compared to the love toward her previous family or Naomi or his son. Because they are gone. Our sins are dead. We should not show more love toward them. We should bring more love toward our Jesus. Those sins were leading us to the death, but our Jesus Christ is leading us to the life. So we should do the same. Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning. And the last section of the verse is, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And we have to do the same without turning left or right. We have to follow straight, run toward the goal, as Paul is saying. And now in verse 11 it says, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now she is a believer. She was a Gentile, but now she is a believer. And we should be the same as well as Ruth. Not just by our deeds, but our faith. Everyone should know we are a virtuous believer. We are a virtuous church. Because our Redeemer have already introduced to us. And now Redeemer know who we are. Once we repent, he knows what we did in the past. Even he knows everything before the beginning of the world. But still, when we repent, everyone knows what we did. And personally, we know why he is our Redeemer. Why we were sinner. Why we were dying. And now Jesus died, and we know the reason why he died for us. And when we go to verse 12, it says, now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. Now there, as I mentioned, that the events are happening chronologically. That midnight happened in the past. Now, Boaz is asking her to lie down and then rise in the morning as we will follow the verses. So lie down, it resembles the death of the Christ. He lied down in a cave for us. And that rising again in the morning is going to resemble that the resurrection of our Christ. And also, there's a really interesting thing. Boaz, even if we cut the link between the both stories, Boaz over here, even though Ruth was there, she offered herself as a bride to the bridegroom, or she proposed him. Still, Boaz is not taking any advantage of that situation, because we know that Boaz is the only one over there, Boaz and Ruth. And still Boaz said, wait till the morning and I will see if your other relative, who is closer than I, if he is willing to redeem you. He is still following the rules. He is still following all the laws, because Boaz is a Jew as well. And Naomi, Ruth already submitted herself to Boaz at this time. So now let's go to the next verses. So 14 and 18, 14 till 18. So now Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. Now the story focused on Boaz and moving from Ruth to Boaz again. It says, so she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. So during this time, Ruth actually put her on sake of her reputation, because she was a virtuous woman in Israel. If anyone would come to know that she was at a threshing floor with a man whole night, because during that time, you know how the rules were in the Jew tradition. She put her reputation on sake and went to Boaz, and Boaz did anything wrong. And this also resembled the Christ as well, because he, during that midnight, he died for us. He lay down, and then he rose up again. And now he's waiting for his bride, which is church. So now the church shall rise to meet the morning star, that morning star which came before the day breaks. And this will happen in the air, in the middle. Because even over here it says, so she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Because during the day, when that glorious day will come, before the people will recognize the church will arose to the heaven. Before they will know that one person is gone, the church will already arose to the heaven and meet the kinsman, the redeemer, in the middle of the air. And now in verse 15 it says, also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 epah of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 epah of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. And then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out for the man. Will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. What a wonderful passage. So now that Redeemer who died for us at the midnight, the church will rose before the morning, before anyone will know each other. As over here is happening, that Ruth woke up before anyone knew each other, or she arose before one could recognize another, as mentioned in the NKJV version of the Bible. So now, according to the law, so there are multiple provisions to redeem. So one is to buy a land, and another one is to marry. So first is, for example, if the person who don't want to marry, it's a must situation that the brother or kinsman should marry the wife of the dead person if there is a no son. And the firstborn from that marriage is going to be named after the previous father. That was the law. We can look into detail if you want to go into Book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, chapter 25 and 20 as well. There, the whole law is written there. So we can see what is happening over here. And when she left, when Ruth left, Boaz gave her 6 acres of barley. Even Jesus Christ did the same. When he left this earth, he gave us Holy Spirit. Not just 6 acres, but a full of bag. So that we can live for him till that day will arrive. Till that marriage will happen, which will happen in the middle of the year. Because that day is coming. And now, Naomi even says that, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out." But we are so blessed that our Lord, our Savior, never sits still when he was on earth. He was doing the redemption work. He was preaching gospel. He was saving souls, and he died for us. We can sit still, but our Savior never sits still. Because even over here, verse 18 says, "Then she said, 'Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest.'" That's the same thing happened with our Christ. We have the rest, we have the peace, but he never sits still. He did the job. Even now, he is preparing a home for us up in the heaven, because he knows that he will take us to that heaven. That's the beauty of the story. That's the Ruth. That's the church. And that's the believer is. Because as Ruth's redemption was assured, our redemption is also assured under our Christ, our Lord, his love. Because in this case, Boaz bought a land and also married Ruth. But in our case, our Savior, he bought a land of our heart by his holy blood, his own blood. And that's the Savior we do have. And now he's saying, "Sit still under his assurance and wait for that glorious day when the bride of church will meet the bridegroom who is King of Kings, not just rich in a land of Israel." That's our Savior. That's our God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day and giving us a passage and giving us a story to learn from Ruth. She was a believer. She was a Gentile, but she got saved. She got redeemed because there was a Redeemer named Boaz. But in our case, we do have a Redeemer who is King of Kings, who is a Lord of Lords, who is Alpha and Omega, because he created everything and he knows us before the creation of this world. That how wonderful our Redeemer is. But he's asking us to sit still so that we can wait for the day to arrive when the bridegroom is going to come back to take her bride, church, our souls, our assemblies, and all the believers as well. Thank you, Father, for giving us a hope. Thank you, Father, for giving us a Redeemer who is willing to do the redeeming work. And he was on that cross for the love he's shown us. That agape love, which is beyond our understanding. And the only thing he's asking us to do is to submit ourselves as Ruth did. And just sit still and wait for that redemption to come. That redemption already came. We are just waiting for that glorious day to come. And I ask you in a prayer that let us walk in your words so that we can see that glorious day. We can see that day when the trumpet will be blown so that we can hear and we can meet that bridegroom who is the fairest of all. Heavenly Father, I hand you all the souls, those who are present over here. As we go back home, we should remember these words. We should remember our Redeemer. We should remember the work which was done for us, the sacrifice which was done for us. I hand you everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.